Psalm 33 tonight, rejoice in the Lord, it says. That's a good way to start, isn't it? You know, sometimes we read something or David is working through something and the psalm starts, my soul aches, or, you know, the enemies surround me, or as I am alone, and he goes on and, you know, I've nothing left but, and then by the end it's, but great and merciful is my God. You know, and that, but Psalm 33 starts different. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with the harp. Sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. God, it was good to hear the hum of words coming up and prayers coming up to you tonight. Just listening to those pouring out their heart before you, knowing that in some way, somehow, God, miraculously, you could hear all of our prayers. God, you could see and hear our heart. Lord, thank you for that. Thank you, God, that we had a time to worship you, for truly you are worthy of that. Lord, I pray as we open up your word that you'd help us examine ourselves here tonight, that we would draw closer to thee, and I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 33 is a great psalm. We didn't read the whole thing. We read probably the first half or so, maybe just a little bit less. And it starts with inviting us to rejoice. It's an invitation to worship. Rejoice in the Lord. And it just starts with almost a command, and it helps us to, as we read those things, to just pause and reflect for a second. He goes on to help us reflect. Sometimes people that live within the four walls of our house will make a statement of, oh, there's nothing to do. So we as parents equip our children, or the people that live within our walls there, with reminders of there is always plenty to do. And as we read the Psalm 33, rejoice in the Lord, and we stop and we think about that, and God gives us some areas in which he can help us, bring us to that area of rejoicing. But it doesn't just stop there. He says, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous. He invites the righteous to worship him. Surely he is worthy of the praise. Praise to God is, listen to this word, is befitting to him. Say, what does that mean? It always works. It fits him. Today we're, I don't know why, I don't know what happened in the schedule, but somehow this morning we deemed it, we're going to clean out our room day, and we're getting rid of some old things. I found an old suit coat, and I was trying to make room out of my area to hang my stuff up for some needed dress space, dresses. Had to get rid of suit coats to get room for dresses. See how that goes. So it was an old suit coat. Honestly, I think the pants that matched the suit coat, I tore, and that is gone by the wayside. And it was in the pile of get rid of. And Sophie came in and she tried it on. This fits, and she puts it on and she's swimming in the thing. No, it does not fit. Do you understand that the praise and the worship of the righteous always fits God. It's always a good idea. When we come to this Psalm 33, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, that fits Him well. If I came to you or said something to you and go, well, that didn't work very well there. Worship and praise of God always works. It befits Him. It is beautiful to Him. He actually uses the word, for praise is comely for the upright. Now again, He invites the righteous. What does that mean? The righteous, those saved by the grace of God through faith, those that have put their trust in Him. And He uses that word. That word comely is not a word that we use frequently, not unless you are speaking older English, but it's a beautiful word. It's a helpful word. Comely means, now listen, the purity. I'm glad the fan, do you see how the fan just stopped there so we can listen to the definition perfectly? Comely means purity of mind out of a right relationship with God. That leads to purity in manners, morals, and behavior. Say, what? Purity of mind and having a pure relationship with God that helps me conduct myself in a way that is pleasing to Him. He invites the righteous to that point. The Bible says that He is worthy of praise. In verse 2, it says, praise the Lord with harp. There have been a few people throughout the years that have come through our way and thankfully have played the harp. Remember Miss Smith? Remember? That was pretty. Mrs. Hines would play the harp. Mrs. Gipp played the harp. Man, that's just, it's a heavenly sound. He says, let's use that. Praise the Lord with the harp. He goes on to talk about the praise. Look at verse 5. It says this, He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. The earth is full. Say, why on earth should I rejoice in the Lord? Look around you. Say, I look around you. I look around me and I get discouraged. I watch the whatever convention your guys are doing. If it was last week or this week, or maybe your guys are this week and you're watching it going, I don't like this. Or maybe your guys were last week and you're saying, I don't like this. You look out on the scope and horizon of what's happening around you and go, I don't know. And then, can I say this? He loveth, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. We have something to praise the Lord over because God in His, listen to these two words now, omnipotence and omniscience. What does that mean? His power and His knowledge. I can look around and I am satisfied and blessed in knowing that God is in control of all this. A few weeks ago, there was a meteor storm or shower. Anybody see that? Some of you? Hudson did. Joe, you saw some? All right. It was about 2:30 in the morning on whatever day that was, and I set my alarm, and I went and got the kids up, and we sat outside, and we watched a show that God put on for us. Happens every August. It's an amazing thing. And His power. And I look around, and I say, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. It is full of the goodness of the Lord. Therefore, we praise Him. But not just His creation. If we look at verse 6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, right? And He made the stars also, right? He just spoke into existence our creation. Again, we've expressed this multiple times, but it is certainly worth repeating. Anything we make, we were watching this afternoon, the Great British Baking Show. Is that correct? Is that the name of it? Anybody see the show? Love to just listen to them talk. They talk about things I don't even know what they're saying. They're using Celsius and grams for weight. And they're making things and they have ganache and, you know, they're she's got the batter and she's pouring the butter around the outside because she wants to fold it in on the meringue right, and just neat things. We're watching that. But they're just making stuff. They have a little area of ingredients. See, God created. How did he create? By his words, it says. But not just in words. But look at this. The power isn't in just the words, but in the one who spoke them. Because I could yell out and say, planet, go there. Nothing. Spin at this rate. Nothing. It's the one who spoke them that makes those words so powerful. I don't know how many years it would take for an engineer to come up with the schematics of Earth. I do not believe they ever could. At what angle, at what distance, ecosystems and all the laws of God, all, and he did it in a day. See, the power isn't just in the words, but in the one who spoke them. Look at verse 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. Not by the word of man, not by the word of the sky, but the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth and storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Which brings us, as we see his power, just in awe of him. If you look around, or you look up, or you look down, if you anybody ever have an opportunity to go snorkeling or something? I know, Brother Spamer, you do some cruises. Do you ever do snorkeling? No. All right. Ever look down into the sea? There's a whole world in there. Many a world. More world in there than out. That ought to bring us into awe of him. See, there's many that can't see his divine glory because their hearts are hard. Those that come to Christ can see through the eyes of faith. Say, I don't know about that. Hebrews chapter 11. Look at this great verse. Don't lose. Well, that's right. You probably turned. Doesn't matter. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. What's the problem? Why don't people look out and say, wow, God's had his hand on. Why are they not rejoicing? Because they don't have the indwelling Holy Spirit of God that tells them that it's all right. For without faith, you're missing out. So oftentimes we feel like, oh, we're missing out if we don't live like the world. No, you're missing out on the other way. God, in verse 9, back in Psalm 33, I'll read it to you. For he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. God ought to get praise from the righteous for his excellent greatness. Why? Because we can see it. Hebrews 11:3 tells us that through faith, all of this makes sense. If there were a group of people that should be rejoicing in the Lord for who God is and what he's done, it's us. And now let's go back to Psalm 33:1. Because that's not really what the message is about tonight. Say, no, no. Psalm 33:1 says, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. This praise is comely, or is becoming of a Christian. It fits the Lord. It's what ought to be there after all that we've seen and after all that God is. Our actions ought to start with a connection between us and God via our heart. And that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what faith is. Now go over with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Having put those thoughts together, say what thoughts? All right, I'll recap so I make sure we're learning what we're supposed to be learning. God desires praise. He desires it from the righteous. The righteous can offer the right praise and worship to Him through the eyes of faith. And the Bible says that it's comely. I want to draw our attention to that word comely tonight. Comely. Again, out of the pure mind and right relationship with God, which leads me to right behavior. Do you see that now? Do you see how that all comes together? I behave right towards God out of purity because of my heart and relationship with Him. In Psalm 33, it was rejoicing. It was praise. And 1 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to find a different expression. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. For kings, we did that tonight, right? Did we not pray for our president tonight? Those that are going to be voting him in for a second term, we're praying for them. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. See, that's why we vote Bible. Who's gonna support the Word of God most? Who's going to help me live a peaceable life? For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, who? Our Savior. Who's that? Jesus Christ. If it wasn't for the Savior, Jesus Christ, I would have no relationship with the Father. And the Bible tells me, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. The work of Christ, our Savior, our mediator, verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and to come under the knowledge of the truth. God desires, listen now, that all men ought to be saved. He made a way for all men to be saved. All men, all mankind, child, man, woman, senior, seasoned, what's the right word? All right. You know where I'm going. That's what he desires, that he be everybody's Savior. Why? Because now there's a connection between my heart and God himself. And when that is comely and pure, it changes my behavior. When my relationship with Christ is where it ought to be, when I've made him my mediator, when I recognize the ransom, look at verse chapter 2 and verse 6, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. When I recognize, let's go back to Psalm 33 and verse 1, as he invites the righteous to worship him, after taking all this into account, look around, look at what I've done, look at what I've created, look at my power, look at my omniscience, look at my omnipotence. Because of that, I desire your actions ought to be rejoicing. It ought not to be strange for a child of God to worship and desire to worship God. And then when we come to this, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, it is the exact same thing. Our Savior, our mediator, the one that ransomed us, he's bringing the exact same thing before. He says, hey, let's take into account, what does the Christian see through the eyes of faith? All right, now there ought to be a response, a comely response, a synonym for the word comely, listen now, is modest. Ever read this passage and go, I don't feel like chapter 2 is connected. We're talking about the redemption of Christ, and then all of a sudden he jumps into, and like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. And it's like, what? Where did that come from? We're just talking about the mediator between God and men. The same thing as Psalm 33. Because of the relationship, it changes our actions. The word comely and modest are synonyms. Comely behavior or modest behavior flows from the heart of those who praise and stand in awe of their Creator and Savior. Those who know His love and love Him in return. Look at verse 9. It says this, in like manner. In verse 8, I'm sorry. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting holy hands without wrath and doubting. Hey, because of your relationship, it should change what you do. Women, it says, there ought to be a modesty about you. Modest apparel. Those are some things I'll say 50% of the conversations I have with parents over young people, it's about modesty and music. Pastor, we're having a hard time. Modesty, music, and how about the third one? Movies. What they're watching, what they're listening to, and what they're wearing. What do we do? Well, you go back a step. The problem isn't what they're wearing. The problem isn't what they're listening to. The problem isn't what they're watching. The problem is their heart connection with a holy, righteous God. And that's what's missing. Why? Because in Psalm 31, he says, rejoice, O ye. And he's inviting who? The righteous to worship him. Hey, behave yourself like a Christian, you ransomed ones. It's the same pull. Behave yourself in a way that pleases and honors and glorifies me. It shouldn't be such a strain for us when we have a relationship with Him. If I had a dollar for every time I've said this, our building would be paid off. Music, modesty, movies are simply a window into the person. It just tells you where they're at. Now, if we're wearing the wrong thing, if we're listening or watching the wrong thing, if our conduct is not one that glorifies and worships God, yes, there are things you can do, disconnect, turn off, unplug, do whatever, go through your wardrobe and get rid of those things. But can I ask or can I plead with you as God of heaven is pleading with you? Hey, move back a step and will you please evaluate your heart connection with God? Because that is the root of the matter. It ought to be strange for a Christian to say, hey, I wonder what's up the dial. I wonder what's on that channel. I wonder how high I can get this. I wonder how low. I read a quote today. It's never been about, It's never been about necklines and hemlines. It's always been about the heart. And we talk about modesty. And oh, pastor's talking about what we ought to wear. No. I'm talking about you and a relationship with the one that ransomed you, which produces a conduct that praises and worships him. Psalm 33, there was a conflict. Rejoice, O ye righteous. isn't it strange that he's inviting the righteous to rejoice and praise him? Isn't it strange that he has to stop the believer and say, look around, look at what I've done? Isn't it strange that the God of heaven would have to go back and start with your salvation and talk about you coming to the knowledge of the truth and reminding of you of where you came from? And that, no, that's where we're at. That's how you deal with that. Comely behavior starts with a relationship with the Lord. Exhibit modest behavior. How about this? Keep free from the world. Keep from the world the standards of the world. Let there be evidence of a changed heart. Prior to dress, music, movie standards, a pure heart with God. For when our heart is right, so is our conduct. When our heart is right, there is no desire to match the world. Comely behavior. Immediately we want to go to dress. We hear that word modest, and all of a sudden we think of paper sacks. Pastor doesn't want me to be pretty. No. No, modesty is about the heart. It always has been. Comely praise is about the heart. So ask yourself these questions. You and God, ask God, do my actions, does my dress, does my behavior express a heart that has been transformed by Christ? What areas in my life need improvements in modesty and godly behavior? Psalm 147, verse 1 says, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. It is fitting to worship God out of a pure heart. It is fitting to conduct yourself in a way that praises and honors and glorifies God. Say why? Because you've been ransomed. You're a child of God. Because He is your Savior. Let's all stand. Comely behavior. Psalm 33. I know that's a sensitive issue sometimes. But it ought not to be. That's a issue between you and God. We don't have... never mind. I'm going to stop there. Before I say too much. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word, how it guides us and directs us in all matters. Lord, help us to conduct ourselves in a way that honors and glorifies and pleases you. Lord, may we live with comely behavior, pure behavior, modest behavior. Lord, help us with these things. Lord, I'm sorry that you would have to invite the ones that you died for to worship you. Lord, it ought to be natural to us. Lord, help me to take personal inventory of what you've done in my life. And Lord, help me in these areas. Lord, thank you so much for our church family. Thank you for how kind and loving you are to us. Lord, thank you for your act of grace and Lord, your hand of protection. Lord, I pray for, again, our men that are out of town. Lord, bring them back safely to us on Friday. Lord, meet with us again on this Sunday. Lord, I thank you again for your allowing us to see who you are. Thank you for the eyes of faith. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.